There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Thursday, July 6th edition. We have a four-game early, seven-game main slate. There's a game in Pittsburgh that will not be on the slate today because, yeah, I have no idea, because they don't want to put it to start that early. It's just what, you know, DraftKings and other companies like to do. It's like those 3 o'clock afternoon games that somehow can't find a day game or a night slate to play. Blows my mind. But interesting action here. We'll break them both down for you. Let's take a quick look at the weather. After that rainout last night, Mets-Washington, it sucked to lose to Grom, but yeah, it was an interesting one. I gambled a little, but took most of them out, and glad I did. That Pittsburgh-Philly game, it's a, like I said, it's a 6:05, 3:05 Pacific, somehow can't make either slate, but there's lots of chances of rain. It's 50 to 60% chances there, so keep an eye on that. It's actually going to be rather warm in Colorado. We're talking mid to high 90s, just what Colorado needs, more of a hitting environment. So yeah, Coors and your day slates. In Washington, it's chances of rain anywhere between 40 to 50% chances. It's off and on. It's chances of thunderstorms. Keep an eye on that one. That'd suck to have another rain out in Washington. Interesting matchup there between Folti and Gio Gonzalez. As you go down some more, it's actually pretty warm in Minnesota. It'll be in the high 80s, low 90s, but then it cools down as the night goes on, obviously. But around first pitch, they're projecting about 88, 89 degrees. So rather warm for a game in Minnesota between Baltimore and Minnesota. Bundy versus Berrios, hitting environment, as they like to say. Other than that, pretty good. So Nationals game, Braves Nationals, chances of rain in the evening. Pittsburgh Philly for playing the all-day slate. Great hitting environment in Coors, as we already knew, but even better now. So that's what you got going when it comes to the weather. Let's take a quick look at your totals on the day. For your day slate, Giants, Tigers, 9.5. Marlins, Cardinals, 9.5. Brew Crew, Cubs, waiting on the wind. Reds, Rockies, 12.5. So the 3 totals that are available on your 4-game slate, 9.5, 9.5, 12.5. Yep. Going to the evening, if you're playing the all-day, Pirates, Phillies, 9. After that, your 7-day evening slate, Braves, Nats, 9. Astros, Jays, 9. Padres, Indians, 9.5. Red Sox, Rays, good pitching matchup in this one. Chris Sale versus Jacob Feria, 7.5. Orioles, Twins, 9.5. A's, Mariners, 9. And on the West Coast, another good pitching matchup, 2 lefties. And Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Robbie Ray versus Rich Hill, 7.5. So definitely stuff to keep an eye on your day slate. You have 4 games, as I mentioned, and you're going to kick it off with your there's 2 high-priced guys. There's 2 approaches to this slate. You either pay for pitching and you fade Coors, which you can do. You can definitely do. You go with like a guy like Michael Wacha against the Marlins. The Marlins blew up Leak, which was rather surprising because Leak hasn't done that all year. And Waka's very sketchy, but in his last 2 starts, 6 innings each start, 1 earned run combined, 32.5 and 21.9 points. But as a whole, he's got an ERA over 4. This price point seems a bit steep, but You know, it's a four-game slate, so you got to pick your poison. If you're paying for pitching, you're probably paying for Michael Wacha. Marlins strike out 20.4% of the time. Wacha is, in the last 30 days, eighth best on the barrel FIP, getting barreled only 0.88% of the time, striking out over 21% of the batters he's faced. He's been good. He's been really good. It's a dicey play, to say the least. But if you're paying up, you're paying for him. Cueto, I just can't trust him right now. I know he has the ability to have a great game at any time. Detroit's bats are bipolar. Ty Block shut him down. Matt Cain, they got to eventually, but still wasn't as big as you'd like. So, you know, this is probably where they blow up Cueto, or at the same time, Cueto pitches a gem. He's really, really, really struggled this year. ERA above 4. We're talking 8.1 points his last time out. 15, 16, 2, and 5. That's his last 4 starts. You can't do that for over 5 digits. He's also third worst on the barrel FIP the last 30 days, getting barreled 6.7% of the time. He's walking almost 12% of the batters he faces and only striking out 14. That is not a guy in the 5-digit range. If he pitches great, he pitches great, but that is not what you're looking for. So I'd avoid Cueto. Zach Davies for Milwaukee against Chicago. Now, he's a higher priced arm. He's 8,800, but at the same time, these are the kind of plays I like for GPP, because you're not going to, most guys are going to be all over Chicago bats. Zach Davies is Zach Davies. He's got a reputation of being beaten up, but he's actually pitched well of late. At least his last 2 starts, 15.3 and 16.8, 6 innings, 7 innings, 4 earned and 0 earned. There are options there. So you could gamble with the likes of Zach Davies, who, like I said, not the best of arms. It's like a 50-50 gamble with Zach Davies and $8,800, which is steep. It's very steep, but on a 4-game slate, these are the kind of GPP plays. You saw how Blake Snell actually pitched really well yesterday. That helped guys cash. Like, that's the kind of stuff you have to be willing to do. In the same matchup, Mike Montgomery at $7,800. He should be chalky. He's been really, really good. His price point's going up. He's been in the 6s and 5s all year, but he's going 6 innings or more in 3 straight starts. He's got you basically 14 or more points in 3 straight, 11 or more in 6 straight, almost 12 or more in 6 straight. 12 doesn't sound like much, but on this slate, that could be better than most pitchers. Milwaukee does strike out over 26% of the time versus lefties. A ground ball rate of almost 61% for Montgomery, which I love. His walk rate's what kills him at almost 11.3%. Last 30 days, though, he's 20th best on the barrel FIP, getting barreled 1.55% of the time, striking out 22.5% of the batters he's facing. So, you know, Milwaukee's got a ton of power. There's no doubt about it. But that strikeout rate gives him tremendous upside in this matchup. If he gets to keep the ball in the park and he's got that great ground ball rate, that potentially could counteract Milwaukee's power. So I get the chalkiness. Wacha Montgomery matchup is a good combo. But if you're paying down, I look at Davies and Montgomery as probably my leading two to pay down with. And then the guy I match up with, and this is very nasty, the only other pitcher I look at. So I'm looking at Wacha, Davies, Montgomery, and the last man I'm looking at. Yes, say it with me now. And I have no problem stacking the Giants bats against him, but Anibal Sanchez. He's $6,500 in Detroit day games. If anybody gambles day games with Anibal Sanchez in Comerica, is like first 5 over Central, but he's actually been good lately. There's a rain in Texas 4 starts ago, but his last 3 earned, 1 earned, 2 earned, 6 and a third, 6, 5 innings pitched, 5, 4, 5 strikeouts, 15.3, 17.7, 11.9. You take any of those at $6,500. Now, I honestly think this is a really good punt play if you want to gamble. The Giants' bats are hot. You saw what they did yesterday. Overall, they won 8 of 9 in those 9 games, well, besides the loss, obviously. They scored in that game, too. They scored 3 runs, which for the Giants, that's saying something. But those 8 wins, they've actually hit the ball pretty darn well. Downside is the Giants only strike out 19.4% of the time. Anibal strikes out 20.6. Ground ball rate's not ideal, 34-2. Hard contacts there. A lot to dislike about Anibal, as you would expect. Giants have a good team total, lefties 332, righties 385, but a horrific WOBA and a horrific ISO against right-handed pitching. They're just, the Giants offense, as good as it's been lately, the overall stats are still just bad. But on a gamble on a 4-game slate, I have zero problem rolling with Anibal. So the 4 pitchers I build around, Wacha, Davies, Montgomery, Anibal, a Davies Sanchez or a Montgomery Sanchez gives you all the bats in the world. All of them. You have Coors for days. Just craziness galore if you want. There's just tons to target there in those ones. So those are your options there. If you want to get real weird, you can go Tom Kohler, who he's been horrible. So I really wouldn't go Tom Kohler, but if you want to get weird, you can go Kohler. But like I said, Waka, Davies, Montgomery, Sanchez, that's who you build around. If you take a quick look at the bats, catchers, if you're not using Waka, real mids is not bad. Manny Pena versus a lefty, Montgomery, it's $4,100, but it's not bad at all. Buster Posey versus Anibal at 4K. I really like Alex Avila. These fucking catchers are expensive. Alex Avila crushes right-handed pitching. 4K versus Cueto, not shabby at all. As you go down, Yadier Molina, 36 versus Kohler. Some value there. If you go down some more, maybe Tucker Barnhart or Troy Walters in the Coors matchup. Barnhart, 34. Walters, 3K. Hannigan got the start yesterday for Colorado. He's 3K as well. If you want, so the Coors catchers are cheaper than most. But day game after night game, might get some backups catching so you can save some even more money at catcher and load up on the bigger bats. Like first base, Votto at 57 versus Chatwood, that's outstanding. Rizzo versus Davies, 4,900 is great because as much as I like Davies as well as he's pitched overall this season for Davies, you look at his numbers, lefties are hitting 347, righties 313. It's always been a problem with lefties for Zach Davies. So Rizzo at 49 is not bad. You got Mark Reynolds and Coors at 48. Eric Thames hits lefties well. He's 46. But Matt Carpenter at 43 versus Kohler is not bad at all. Brandon Belt, 42 versus Anibal. You got to like that kind of stuff if you're fading Anibal. For Anibal, lefties 332, righties 385. Justin Bour went deep yesterday. He's 42. Mentioned Posey and Avila. You got Miggy Cabrera at 37, V-Mart at 36. V-Mart's actually been, I still rarely ever play him because I just play Miguel Cabrera if I have to. But V-Mart, back-to-back double-digit gains, 14 and 19 respectively. Swinging a good stick at the moment. As you go down some more, if you want to punt with the Cardinals, Jose Martinez, he's first base outfield eligible. He's 3,100 versus Kohler. That's got some upside. Same with Luke Voit. If he gets the start, he's 2,900 versus Kohler. A couple options at the first base position for you. Going over second base, you got Scooter Jeanette and Coors at 47. He just continues to hit the baseball. It's amazing. Paul DeJong, power upside at 42. Ian Happ at 42. That guy is just something special. Ian Kinsler at 41. Disappointment last night. Joe Panic at 39. You got Peraza and Coors at 39. That price tag's jumped. He was like 33 for two straight days. As you go down some more, you got like Benny Zobrist at 35 with some upside. If Greg Garcia cracks the lineup, he's 3,100. He's second base, third base eligible versus Kohler. It's not bad at all as a punt. That's about all you got there. Let's head over to third base where you're led by Nolan Arenado at 56 versus Romano. Colorado's a great stack. You got Romano making another spot start for Cincy where he only went three innings his first spot start. Got hit around pretty good. Chris Bryant, 43 versus Zach Davies. Suarez and Coors at 42. Castellanos at 39. He's hitting second last night. I like him there. For a while, they had him down at seventh. If he's back up at the top of the order, his value goes up big time for me. Hernan Perez versus the lefty Montgomery. He's third base outfield eligible at 37. Prado and Dietrich. Prado 35, Dietrich 34. Mentioned Greg Garcia as an option. And then Jaeguan Hwang of the Giants, he's 27 as a punt third baseman if you need to go that direction. Shortstop, I got Cozart and Coors at 47, Trevor Story at 4. Orlando Arcia is 42 versus Montgomery. That price tag continues to skyrocket. It's hard to start paying that much for him. He's playing really well, but that spot in the order is tough. I mentioned Pat Valeka yesterday as a value play. He's 3,700 today. That's value again. I hope some of you guys played him. 3-for-4 with a homer, 3 ribbies, run scored, 24 points. And he was only, just closed it, he's only 3,500 in Coors. That's crazy. He's 37 today. He's not going to do that every day, but that's just tremendous upside. Amarista in Coors at 3,300. Not bad either. If you want to roll the dice with Brandon Crawford versus Anibal Sanchez, he's only 3K. Our boy JT Riddle's 3K. His price tag has gone up as he's had some really good games this week. 7 more points last night. Our boy getting it done. Going to the outfield, we're looking at Blackman at 59 is a tremendous play. He should be over 6,000 against Romano. Duvall at 53. Tommy Pham is on fire right now. He's $4,800 versus Kohler. 18 points last night. He's averaging 12.6 his last 10 days. He 18 last night, 0 the night before, but 26, 18, 0, 10, 14, 7, 10, 23. So he pretty much double digits when he does something. He only had 2 zeros. The worst he had other than that was a 7. Not bad for $4,800. You got Scooter Jeanette at 47, JD Martinez at 46, Ryan Braun at 46 versus a lefty. Mentioned Thames. Yelich's hot. He's 45. Justin Upton swinging a hot bat as well. He's 43. You got Cargo and Coors at 43. Ramel Tapia batting second for Colorado up to 43. That's still good. Belt at 42. Ozuna went deep again yesterday. He's 42. Ian Happ, I mentioned, at 42. Stanton went deep yesterday twice. He's 41. Scheffler and Coors is 41. That's very nice. Denard Span at 4K leading off is not bad at all. Pence is actually kind of heating up, sort of. He's 3,800 versus Sanchez, which is not shabby. I can see that happening. As we go down, Zobrist 35. John Jay, I tell you, he keeps leading off. He keeps raking, guys. 18 more points last night with another home run. Averaging almost 7 points a game his last 10. He's 3,500. There are worse leadoff guys you could play a lot more for. As you go down, I mentioned Jose Martinez at 3,100. Keon Broxton had a big game yesterday at 31. He's so streaky, but back-to-back double-digit games might be worth riding that one versus the lefty Montgomery at 3,100. You really don't need to go too cheap today unless you're getting some Coors guys and you got to fill in. Like I mentioned Austin Slater yesterday. He's 2,400 versus Sanchez today. Still not a bad play if you need to punt at 2,400. But that'll do it. That's your four-game early slate. Not too much. Like I mentioned, you're paying up for Waka or you're going Davies, Montgomery, and Anibal. Those are the guys I'd be looking at. There's other guys that could go off, but those are the four I am looking at. Now let's get into the insanely loaded pitching slate, the seven-game slate, where we have five pitchers over $10,000, and we have a $9,600 guy. So basically, we're looking at say six guys in the upper echelon price-wise. Chris Sale, 13,300, leads the way at Tampa Bay. It's Chris Sale. Like this is one of the guys you just don't really have to worry about. Coming off 37.6 points. Let's just talk K's. 11, 9, 10, 10, 7, 9, 9, and then 6, and then just double digits galore. He did face Tampa Bay earlier this year, 7 innings. 3 earned, 12 Ks for 35.4. Tampa Bay strikes out almost more than anybody in baseball. They do have a ton of power. They can hit lefties. This is proven. But, when you strike out almost I got to go all the wrong sheet. There's 26.4 or 26.5% of the time versus lefties. You got Chris Sale's swinging strike rate of 16%. Second best last 30 days at barrel FIP, getting barrel 2.13% of the time. Striking out over 33% of the batters he faces, Chris Sale definitely in play if you want to spend up. Watch the weather in this one, but this is a GPP ownership play for me. It's Gio Gonzalez. He's averaging almost 20 points a game. He's 11,300, which I still think is insane for Gio, but that's what makes him GPP relevant. Before his last start at 11.7, he was below 10 all year. And he goes out last start at St. Louis, 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned, 9 Ks for 29.4 points. 8 or more Ks in 3 straight starts. He's at home, given the weather. I mentioned that. But Gio facing a Braves team that strikes out only 18.4% of the time versus lefties. In the last 30 days, Gio is 11th best at the barrel FIP, getting barrel 1.97% of the time, striking out almost 29% of the batters he's facing. And his walk rate, which was killing him, was down to about 7.9%, which is still not good. Way better than his overall. This is GPP. This is ownership-wise. You do not play this in cash. There's tremendous upside. You're out of SunTrust. You're in Washington. Lots to like about Gio in this matchup. The Braves, you know, Tampa Bay had the lowest team total on the evening. Or no, they don't. They have the second lowest. Braves had the third lowest at 4.04. You got lefties hitting 257, righties 321 versus Gio. He makes for an interesting pivot off guys playing for Sale or paying down for the next guy. So Gio is definitely on my radar tonight. Lance McCullers, 11K at Toronto. People are going to panic. He's facing the Blue Jays in that ballpark. They just beat up Pineda. He got beat up by the Yankees his last time out, giving up 3 runs and 5 1/3, still struck out 6. Prior to that, 8 Ks in 3 straight starts. That was only a second start back from the DL last time out. He got 13.2 points. Prior to that, it was 26.9 at Seattle. He's at Toronto. He's actually been better on the road than at home this year, but not dramatically. You're looking at McCullers. Toronto strikes out 20.6% of the time versus righties. McCullers strikes out 29% he faces. Swinging strike rate around 13. Low hard contact rate. And the part that I love in that ballpark, a 64% ground ball rate. When that curveball is flipping, they aren't doing garbage. They have a low team total of 4.24, which is 2-4-6 lowest on the slate. Lefty's hitting 289. Righty's only 300 versus McCullers. He makes for an interesting GPP play as well. The blister god, Rich Hill. I'm not playing Robbie Ray. I am a big Robbie Ray fan, but A, the Dodgers bats are just hot, and B, Ray, just something's not right with him lately. Just really isn't. For a price tag of 10-5, his last three starts, 17-5, 17-7, 10.8, you need the mid-20s probably, at least 20s, but mid-20s. So if he pitches great, I'm all for it. I love him. They're going to beat the Dodgers. Big fan all around. But I'm going to Rich Hill at 10-2, the blister god, who I mentioned I liked him last time out. I'm starting to believe in him. If these blisters are healed, that's a big if. But he's got four straight. He went 105 four starts ago. But they're letting him go around 100 pitches. He went 7 innings and back-to-back starts, 11, 7, 8 are his Ks in his last three. 38.8, 19.6, 25.1 are his DraftKings points. We've seen two straight nights what lefties can do to Arizona. It's not pretty. They strike out almost 25% of the time versus lefties. Rich Hill in the last 30 days, 13th best on the barrel, FIP striking out almost 30% of the batters he faces. Walk rate still scary of almost 12%, but a barrel percentage of only 1.68, definitely limiting the hard contact. The curveball is flipping. So Rich Hill, definitely worth a look. Arizona has the lowest team total on the board, lower than Tampa Bay versus Chris Sale at 3.40. Lefties 278, righties 261. Burst Sale, and I've mentioned two nights in a row now how the D-backs do struggle against left-handed pitching. Rich Hill, he might only go 4 or 5 innings, but if his pitch count stays the way it is, like it has been, like, you know, Alex Wood last night was phenomenal, he's getting at least 6, hopefully 7 innings, and the K upside is tremendous at $10,200. And the last guy in this upper tier is Jose Berrios. Coming off back-to-back really, really rocky starts for him. 4.7 points, 14.3. Prior to that, has been filthy this year. He faced Baltimore earlier this year. In Baltimore, 6 1/3, 4 hits, 3 earned, 7 Ks for 22.7 points. People are going to stray away from him after his last two starts, wondering if the Berrios of old is back. And hey, it could be. But this kid has it. And I'm not running away from two bad starts. He's young. He's facing a Baltimore team that strikes out 23% of the time. A Baltimore team that just disappears. Matt Garza shut them down last night. The Baltimore offense is bad. They have tremendous power, so they could go off at any day. That's obvious. But with their strikeout rate, Berrios strikes out 24.6%. Doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. There's a lot to like there. Baltimore's team total is middle of the pack at 4-4-3. Very intriguing matchup with Berrios. I think it's a decent GPP play. So up top, I got Sale number 1, Rich Hill number 2, Gio 3, McCullers 4, Berrios 5. McCullers and Gio, you can mix and match if you want. But Sale and Rich Hill are who I'm going to battle with. And then the other guy's more like a GPP angle if you want to gamble some more. But Sale and Hill are my more comfortable plays I'm going with. Hopefully they stay comfortable. Now as you drop down, after Berrios, it goes all the way to $8,300. And we're talking Jake Faria at home against those Boston Red Sox bats who were hot, but that was Texas. Outside of Texas, they've been not much to talk about. And this kid's averaging 24 DraftKings points, 2.23 ERA. He's been outstanding. Last start at Baltimore, 6 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned, 6 Ks. His Ks, 6, 7, 9, 8, 5 in his 5 starts. Absolutely loving that. Has not faced Boston yet this year. But the kid's been great. He has one start below 20 points. That was 16.7. The kid has been really, really good. I'm waiting for that banana peel because he's a kid and it's coming. But until it does, like, you got to ride this Boston doesn't strike out a ton, 18.5%. I mentioned Farias got his strikeout rate through the roof. Swinging strike rate at 12.3%. Doesn't walk a lot. He's been pitching so well in the last 30 days. He's entered the barrel FIP leaderboard, number 23, getting barreled a little less than 4% of the time, but a K rate of 27.6% and a walk rate of 5.5%. That's a lot to like with a very young pitcher in some tough matchups in the AL East. He's had some really tough matchups. So Ferry at 83, definitely on my board. And then Denilson Lamet, 7,100 at Cleveland. We saw what Perdomo did. He pitched great. Very good. Even Miranda at 5,900 got you double digits, and he pitched like dog garbage. It's the power of the strikeouts, folks. That's why we target guys with strikeouts. Denilson Lamet has those strikeouts. Averaging 18 points a game on the season. Last three starts, 32-8, 17-1, 29-1. He had two hiccups. But prior to those two hiccups, he was phenomenal again. Back-to-back 23-plus point performances. So as a whole, he's got four starts of 23 or more, one at 17-1, and then two bad starts. Not bad for a kid. Strikeouts are there, 8-5, 12-6 his last four. Going up against a Cleveland team that where's my Lamet? There he is. Strikes out almost 20% of time versus righties. You got Lamet's small sample, but his K rate's over 32%. Swinging strike rate of 14%. Does give up some hard contact. That is something to definitely worry about. He's phenomenal against right-handed batters, struggles versus lefties. 5-2-1 team total for Cleveland. Lefties hit 421, righties a buck 97. Cleveland does have a slew of lefties, so that part does scare me. We know Cleveland can crush the baseball, but lefties also crush Perdomo. It's kind of pick your poison. Perdomo's a ground ball pitcher, which plays a lot better for him. Lamet's not, only at 36.6% ground ball rate. So Lamet has the potential to get blown up, but he's got much, much better strikeout stuff. So it's a GPP play. It's not a cash game play. It's GPP at 7,100. So the middle tier has got two guys. And Faria, by far and away, is my number one. And then Lamet's an interesting gamble if you want to gamble. Like, if you want to pay up for one of the gambles and take him, you got two gamble pitchers. If they pay off, you're good. You got one gamble, one safe. Whatever matchup you want. It just depends on how much risk you want to take. But the riskier you are, if they hit, usually the better off things work. But it's a massive risk. It's just the way it goes. But Faria, Lamet, very solid 1-2 punch in the middle. Then down below, I'm not in love with anything. There's one I like a lot just for the upside gamble. But the first two, you got Josh Tomlin, 64, at home against San Diego. Started out the year pretty darn solid. He has struggled of late. Struggled, just putting it lightly, 1.9, 7.6, 5.7. His last three starts, 4, 4, 5 earned runs. He had even 4 earned runs prior to that, but he had 7 Ks for 15-9. He had a minus 6, but then prior to those, not bad. It's hit and miss with Tomlin. But he has K upside, and he's facing a San Diego team, as we know, strikes out almost 26% of the time versus right-handed pitching. Tomlin's K rate's only 17%, but when he's had those matchups, he's been able to get the strikeouts. Doesn't walk many guys, so the ball's in play a lot, which isn't always good for a hard contact fly ball guy like Tomlin. So it's risky as risky can be. San Diego has a team total of 429. It's about 7th or 8th on the night. Lefties 310, righties 369. They have a subpar wOBA versus righties. It's a gamble. It's a punt. It's $6,400. Dylan Bundy, 6,300. He has struggled of late. The hard contact rate's through the roof. 5-3-6-4 earned runs in his last four starts. But the strikeouts have been up, 7 and 8 in his last two. Those were both at Tampa or against Tampa, which says a lot because they strike out like crazy. But you got Dylan Bundy facing Minnesota in a nice pitcher's ballpark in Target Field. Strikes out 22%, or Minnesota strikes out 22% of the time versus righties. Bundy in the last 30 days, fourth worst on the barrel FIP. I mentioned Cueto struggled, he was third worst. Bundy's fourth worst, getting barreled 8.5% of the time, walking almost 12%, which is really killing him. But he's striking out almost 23%. So it's pick the gamble you want to roll with. Does he have the control tonight and get you the strikeouts, or does he not? It's facing Minnesota. The other thing, they have a high team total of 507 at the moment, the fifth highest on the evening. Lefties hit 334, righties 323 off Bundy. Very risky. To me, if I'm going to risk, because Tomlin and Bundy, there's upside, but there's tremendous risk. If I'm going to gamble, I'm gambling for $4,700. That's $1,700 cheaper than Tomlin, $1,600 cheaper than Bundy, and his name is Paul Blackburn. He allows you to pay for any high pitcher you want and still get bats. You can take a mid-tier pitcher like Faria, get all the bats in the world. It's an intriguing play. Blackburn came up out of the minors, made his debut against Atlanta, 6 innings, 3 hits, no earned, 4 Ks for 18.5 points. You know, you're not expecting that against Seattle, but if you look at Blackburn's bigger numbers, if the Fangraphs page wants to load, there it is. In AAA this year, he had a 79 and two-thirds innings pitch, a 3.05 ERA, a 6.33 K per nine, walk per nine of around 3, ground ball rate 55.3%, BABIP of 265. If you look deeper, his K rate throughout the minors wavered around 16 to 17%. So not a huge K guy. His walk rate was about 5 to 6, which is not bad at all. He's always kept the average about 240 or below, 250 below. BABIP hasn't been a concern. He's been pretty darn decent as a whole. When you look at ground ball rate in the minors this year, 55.3. Throughout his minors career, it was 55 to 60% ground ball guy, which you absolutely love. They don't have the hard contact rates in the minors. He had got hard contact at 22.2% of time in his debut, if you want to take that for him. That's extremely small sample size. But yeah, big-time ground ball guy, which is a plus. A little bit of a K guy, 17%, not outstanding, but there's a little bit there. So that's your little deeper dive into Paul Blackburn, but he's $4,700. And you're facing Seattle, who strikes out 21.4% of the time versus right-handed pitching. So you have that upside going for you. They have a team total of 4.75, which is middle of the pack. They do have power. You can't hide that. You saw it yesterday on full display against Vargas. They can hit righties just fine as well. But for $4,700, you're looking for 10 points, maybe a little more. There's no pitch count worries with him. He can go at least 100. So as long as he doesn't get blown up, the upside's tremendous. And he's against a Seattle team that they're like hit and miss. They might blow up. They might not. They might get 3 runs. You really don't know what you're going to get with Seattle at all. Really don't. It just depends on the day with them. But at $4,700, it's a gamble I am worth taking. If he blows up, it really... How many times have you paid for an outfielder that gets you a zero at $4,700 and you still cash? That's all you're doing, but now you can buy even better bats. So the trade-off in saving money, that money you get to disperse through your bats can get you a boatload more points. You got to think of it that way too. So if Blackburn even only gets you 5 or 6, but you get two more, you know, $4,500 plus bats in your lineup that both go yard, well, instead of boom, there's 14 plus points right out the gate for both of them. Look at the big picture, not the small picture. Blackburn at 47 makes for a very, very interesting gamble tonight. So your punts, it's Tomlin, Bundy, Blackburn. In the order, I'm going Blackburn, Bundy, Tomlin. Recapping all your pitchers up top, I'm going Sale, then Hill. Geo McCullers are kind of 3A, 3B, and then Berrios. But Berrios, Gonzalez, and even McCullers to an extent, but really Berrios and Gonzalez, GPP-wise, I think could be really, really intriguing. Middle of the pack, Faria and Lamet. Faria, I'm in love with. He might get destroyed. He really might. But I'm in love with this kid. And then Lamet's an intriguing GPP play. Then you go down below, Blackburn, Bundy, Tomlin. So it just depends on your risk-reward. Not all these guys are going to pay off. We got lucky a few nights ago where almost all of them paid off. But you look at last night, I don't think one of the punts. Miranda didn't do bad for $5,900. But as a whole, Perdomo at $5,000 wasn't bad either. But... as a whole, pitching wasn't great last night. There's tons of offense. So take your gambles where you wish. Let's look at the bats. Kick it off at the catcher's position. We are led by Evan Gattis, 4,200 versus Liriano. We love Gattis versus lefties plus Liriano. Not great at baseball. Astros bats are on fire. Gattis, 9, 19, and 8 in the last 3 games. They destroyed Atlanta's pitching. They faced lefties the last 2 nights. They get another one tonight. Astros, phenomenal play tonight. They should have one of the highest. 4.76 total. Lefties 3.17. Righties 3.48 off Liriano. You got Austin Barnes versus Robbie Ray at 38. If you want to go there, I know he's struggling. He's been giving up some loud contact. So if you want to go there, I have no problem with it. Good GPP play. I just don't know if I'm going to pick it on him. Tyler Flowers versus Gio Gonzalez at 34, if you're not playing Gio, is very intriguing. Jason Castro at 32 versus Bundy has tremendous upside, the way Bundy's been getting hit hard. Lots of upside there. If you're fading Chris Sale, I have no problem building some Tampa lineups if you're fading Sale. Sale is like extremely dominant. So zeros across the board, very possible. But there's tremendous power, and one is Wilson Ramos at 3,200 versus Sale. I don't mind at all. He's been hitting in the middle of that lineup since his return. Mike Zunino versus Blackburn at 32. Zunino went deep again last night. Very solid play. if you go down some more, you got the likes of Chris Iannetta at 2,900 versus Rich Hill if he gets to start. Matt Wieters versus Fulte. Lefties crush Fultonevich. Even though he's pitched well his last two, I can never get Fulte right, so I will probably rarely recommend him unless I see more consistency. Just like, you know, Rich Hill's, Tanaka's of the world, I'm starting to get on board now. They're starting to show me something. I need to see more from Fulte. Every time I think he figures it out, he goes get blown up. His worst start of the year was against Washington in Washington, and he had like minus 18 DraftKings points. Pretty sure I had him that night. So Wieters for $2,900. People will say Fulte would be a great GPP play because no one's going to play him, which is true. If you really want to gamble, knock yourself out. As you go down some more, you got the likes of Russell Martin at 26, which I'm not in love with in that one. Down low is not a ton of options unless we see some lineups where it works out. Bruce Maxwell at 25 versus Gavaglio is not bad. The lefty matchup there. Jeff Mathis at 22 versus Rich Hill, if you really want to go down the well, isn't bad either. I can see that being an option for you. Going over to first base, you're let off with Paulie Goldie at 49 versus Rich Hill, if you're fading Rich Hill. Cody Bellinger at 46. Encarnacion, 45. He mentioned the loud contact that Lamet can give up. It is intriguing. He is really good against righties, though. Really, really good. So it's, if you want to, knock yourself out. Justin Smoke is on fire. He's 4,500. Lomo took Chris Sale deep this year. He's 4,500. Not saying go run to play him, though. Just saying he's taking him deep. You got Ryan Zimmerman versus Fulte at 42 is not bad at all. Yonder Alonso, 4K versus Gavaglio is really good. He goes overlooked so often, and he's a phenomenal play again tonight. Will Myers versus Josh Tomlin. I mentioned Tomlin could be a GPP play, but at the same time, tons of hard contact, especially of late. Tons of fly balls. Will Myers at 38 could be in for a nice night. I believe he did a little something yesterday. He had 7 points last night, averaging 7.2 his last 10 games. Not bad there. Always low owned. Yuli Gurriel, I've been riding him. The guy is on fire. He didn't do too much last night, only 6 points last night, but averaging 12.4 his last 10. Before last night, 23, 28, 28. A 0, then a 12, a 3, then a 16, and an 8. He is on fire. He's facing a lefty in Liriano in that ballpark. Gurriel at 3,500 is not, or 36, not bad at all. If Adam Lind cracks the lineup, he's 36 versus Fulte. Really good left-handed bat against righties in that matchup. Trey Mancini versus Berrios. If you're fading Berrios, 35 with power upside. Mitch Moreland, 33 versus Faria. Moreland is slumping. Good matchup for him. I love Faria, like I keep saying, but Moreland is slumping. That's why his price tag's all the way down to 33. Kendrys Morales went deep yesterday. He's 31. Continues to be just not appreciated, and I think it's because everyone's playing Smoke, and you can only play one or the other, so DK's algorithm about ownership has changed Kendry's pricing quite a bit. Second base, Jose Altuve at 52 versus Liriano is great. Altuve is on fire. Big night last night. Well, Astros have been big altogether, but averaging 14.1 his last 10. He had 22 last night, 32 the night before, 3, then 14. He is crushing it. Loves hitting lefties. Daniel Murphy, 5K versus Fulte. Really good career history versus Fulte. No problem with that play. Just remember, watch the weather in that matchup. Robbie Cano at 48 versus Blackburn. If you're not using Blackburn, that's a really great play. Jose Ramirez versus Lamet at 46. I love lefties. Crush Lamet. Jose Ramirez is crushing everybody. And he's not the highest priced guy for once, like he has been. So he might go a little more overlooked, or he might get owned more. Tough to decide. But at 46, he's definitely in play. Power upside with Scope versus Barry at 42. Chris Taylor versus Lefty at 42. Brian Dozier's down to 39. I like that quite a bit against Dylan Bundy. If you're not using Bundy, the Twins are definitely in play the way he has struggled of late. So Dozier at 39. Pedroia's swinging it well at 39, if you want to go there. Got Jed Lowry versus Gavaglio at 36. I like a ton. The A's are cheap like normal, and they're definitely in play. Jose Perella, $3,400 is raking. 18 points last night facing Tomlin for a very intriguing play at 3,400. Kiki Hernandez is only 33 versus Robbie Ray. Second base outfield eligible. I can get behind that kind of a play if you need him. Eric Gonzalez got the start for Cleveland last night. He's second base shortstop eligible. He batted ninth, got you 12 DraftKings points. He's always an intriguing punt play, but he is right-handed, so watch out. Some more. Brandon Phillips, only 29 versus Gio, which I like a ton. If you're not using Gio, there's tremendous upside for $2,900 versus Gio. Lots of upside at $2,900. That's probably the lowest second baseman I'd go with on the slate. Going over to third base, Miguel Sano at 47 versus Bundy is definitely in play. I mentioned Jose Ramirez. Justin Turner is on fire. Just amazing numbers. He's 44 versus Ray. We definitely have no problem playing him. I know Ray's great. You're not. He's struggling. You're not targeting Ray, but at the same time, you can. Rendon at 43 versus Fulte is not bad at all. Donaldson, he's struggling so much. Always in play, but he's struggling. Matt Chapman, power upside at 4K versus Gavaglio if you want to go there. He's been not hitting for much of an average, .154. He hasn't even homered yet, but the power upside's there. He's kind of like Matt Olson. Eventually, he's going to get it going, but I don't know if I'm going to pay 4K for him just yet, but GPP, it's intriguing. You got Eduardo Escobar at 38 versus Bundy. Manny Machado at 38 versus Barrios. There's always upside there. Kyle Seager's only 37 versus Blackburn, which is not bad. You got Longo versus a lefty at 36 if you're fading Sale, not your normal lefty. I mentioned Spangenberg yesterday. Hope some of you gambled on him. 18 points, went deep. He's averaging 8.3 points his last 10 games. He's facing Tomlin at 35. He's third base outfield eligible. He makes for a nice GPP play tonight. Alex Bregman, who I've been rolling with a lot, he's only 3,500. I like him quite a bit. 7 more points last night, averaging 7.1. He's a part of that bottom stack I like with Gurriel, Bregman, and he can swap around to Springer, Altuve if he wants. You get two cheapies, 35 and 3,600, and you get two expensives. Makes for interesting matchups there, especially with Correa out. It helps a lot. Ryan Healy's been out for the last 3 or 4 days, so keep an eye on that. But he's only 35 if he cracks the lineup. Trevor Plouffe, 31 for Tampa Bay. He has really good history against Chris Sale. Lots of at-bats when he was with Minnesota. As you go down some more, you got the likes of, is he third base eligible? Yeah, Johan Camargo, if he gets the start for Atlanta. Now they have Freddie Freeman also back. He's $2,100. He had 12 points last night. He averages 5 points his last 10 games. I love using this kid. I loved using him before Freddie came back. So if he cracks the lineup, he's 21 as a decent punt. Shortstop, Correa's been out. I don't think they'll want to rush him back, but if he's back, he's 51. Gene Segura is a great play at 45, continues to crush it. Big night last night at 26 points, went deep. He's averaging 10.8 points his last 10 games. He's a solid play against Blackburn. Chris Owings versus the lefty at 41 is okay. Bogarts went deep yesterday, he's 4K. Franklin Barreto's up to 4,000 versus Gavaglio. I can't say no to that anymore. He's had a couple good games in a row. And Gavaglio's 11th worst on the barrel, getting barreled over 6% of the time right now, striking out less than 15%. So Barreto at 4K. I didn't want to pay it at first, but he had 5 points last night, had the walk-off the night before. Seems like it's hit and miss, but they're running with him. Interesting play at 4K. But you can get like Lindor at 39. I'd rather have Lindor. I know what I'm getting with Lindor. Barreto maybe GPP-wise, but Lindor's a lot safer at 39. I mentioned Eduardo Escobar at 38. Tulo's only 33 if you want to punt without playing McCullers. You got Polanco at 32 for Minnesota. Man, I'm all kinds of congested today. This is crazy. Allergies, I tell you. Timmy Beckham, if you want to fade Sale, he's 32. Obviously, the Tampa Bay bats are going to be cheap. I'm just not all aboard fading Sale, but if it hits, it's a great play. As you go down a little lower, Adam Rosales, if he gets to start again, he's 2,900. 10 points on the third, and then he hasn't played much else. So keep an eye on Adam at 29 as a potential punt as you go there. If Wilmer Defoe cracks the lineup, 2,800. Steven Drew's 28. One of them should be playing shortstop. They're $2,800 each. A guy I've been rolling with as a punt, he's been okay. Sui Lin. I told you I'll probably keep butchering that one. I try to get most names right because I've been holding this back, but I get so annoyed by these quote-unquote touts that can't say a name. Even after messing it up 2 or 3 times, they can't figure it out. And they act like they watch baseball because they quote-unquote know everything, but all they do is stare at a computer, and whatever their computer tells them to play, that's what they're telling you. they don't even know baseball apparently because they can't pronounce some of the Mejia, Alberto Mejia, not Mejia, Mejia, whatever the hell the guy. Like, it's unbelievable how they pronounce it. I'm sorry, I had to say it. It annoys the crap out of me. If you're a big baseball fan like you say you are, learn the goddamn names. Dansby Swanson, $2,700 versus Gio Gonzalez is not bad at all. I got Etch at $2,400 versus Sale. But I wouldn't really go there if I was you. So sorry about the rant, but I had to do it. Couple good options there at shortstop. Wrapping it up with the outfield, Mookie Betts, 54. Betts is a great play for fading Faria. I don't mind it at all. Bryce Harper versus Folty at 53 is outstanding. George Springer, 5K, is on fire. His hitting streak is bananas. 29 points last night. His last 10 games, averaging 17.1 points. That is nuts. 29, 31, 12, 0, 10, 2, 32, 25, 18, 12. That's his 10-game log. That's awesome. K with the Chris Davis, 4,700 versus Gavaglio. Benintendi at 45 versus Faria's got upside. Kepler at 44, I like a lot versus Bundy. Nelly Cruz at 44, not bad at all. Did you see he went deep against the lefty yesterday? Steven Souza's 43. Josh Reddick, 42. Eddie Rosario, some power upside versus Bundy at 41. The Twins are priced up tonight. Chisenhall, 4K, a lefty versus Lamet. Keep an eye on that one. Robbie Grossman at 39, I love him. Putting him towards the top of the order, he's an on-base machine. I love that. With occasional power upside. Ben Gamel at 3,900 versus Blackburn. That could be a sneaky value. He's below 4K. Tremendous upside. 10 points last night. Had a couple rough games in between, but the upside with Gamble's huge against a guy like Blackburn, who I like as a gamble, but I'm not expecting him to shut him out either. So I expect Seattle to do a little damage against him, and at $3,900, that's not bad upside at all. AJ Pollock's back, he's $3,900. Jock Jam's $3,900. Got the Trumbaum at $3,800. C-Dick at $3,800, cheapest you'll see him in a long time, but it is Chris Sale after all. Jackie Bradley Jr. is only 38 versus Faria. There's upside there. Hunter Renfroe and Manny Margot, 3,700 each against Tomlin. Both good plays. Renfroe, the power upside. He's pretty much going to do maybe an extra base hit, most likely a home run, if anything. Margot could string together a multi-hit game for you with power upside. So both 3,700. Spangenberg at 35, who I really, really like today. He might go 0 for now, but I play him a lot. And this is one of the higher prices I've seen him. He's a really good left-handed bat. Mitch Haniger at 35 is not bad. Bradley Zimmer led off at 3,400 tonight, led off last night. Didn't do too much, but I like this kid a lot. And they put him in a good spot like that. It's not bad at all. If you go down some more, you got Yasiel Puig at 3,400. Matt Kemp, 34 versus Gio, great history. Inciarte, 34 versus Gio, really good history as well. Keep an eye on both of those. Seth Smith leading off against Barrios at 33 is intriguing. Jacob Brugman, he's 3,300 versus Gavaglio, and he went deep yesterday for the second time in the season. He doesn't put together big games often, but he's a punch at 3,300. Kiki Hernandez at 33 as well. Brian Goodwin, left-handed bat versus Folty at 33. I like that a lot if that game plays. Matt Joyce leading off for the A's at 32. Joyce has put together a few good games here of late. He's averaging 7.5 points his last 10 games. Back-to-back 16-point performances. Not a bad play against Gavaglio tonight leading off for Oakland at 3,200. Like that a lot. If you're going cheap. You got Kevin Millar at 31 versus McCullers. He had a big game yesterday against the Yanks. As you go down some more, you got the likes of Malik Smith, 3K. You're not going there. Nick Markakis, 3K, maybe. Adam Jones, 29 versus Barrios. There's a lot of upside there. Jake Mariznick, 29 versus Liriano. If he makes the lineup, he bats low. He could be a part of your Bregman Gurriel stack at the bottom. He's a righty with power. He's facing Liriano in a great hitter's ballpark. There's upside in that matchup. When you're looking at punts, you're looking upside. Matt Olson, he's 2,700 versus Gavaglio. He did get sent back to AAA. I was wondering. I didn't see any headlines. He hasn't been in the lineup in great matchups. So he's back in AAA, so you're not using him at $2,700. That's a shame because that's a great spot tonight. As you go down some more, Peter Borges, he's $2,500 versus Sale. Good chance he's in the lineup if you really want to get weird. but he'll probably strike out 7 times. Other than that, nothing else below Peter Borzo. I know I pronounced that wrong on purpose, just letting you know. But interesting slate, to say the least. You're pitching up top in this order: Sale, Hill, Gonzalez, McCullers, Berrios. In the middle, Faria, Lamet. Down below, Blackburn, Bundy, Tomlin. When you're stacking it up, Cleveland versus Lamet, lefties are 421, hit a 421 clip. Righties, he does very well against, so pick your poison. There's a lot of lefties in that Cleveland lineup, but a lot of strikeouts for Lamet, so it's an interesting debate. Minnesota, 5.07 total versus Bundy, lefties hit 334, righties 323. Bundy's been getting hit hard a lot lately. Nationals versus Folty should be chalky, 4.96 total, lefties 345. Houston versus Lariano, 4.76 total. I love that play. If it's not chalky, I'd be shocked. Lefties hitting 317, righties 348. The Astros bats are just on fire. You got Seattle versus Blackburn if you want to go there. Not a problem if you do. Baltimore versus Berrios, 4.43 total. Lefties 344, righties 341. Berrios has struggled the last two, so if you want to fade him, I understand. But Baltimore's lineup, they're so bad and so inconsistent. But you never know. A sneaky stack I like are the Padres, a 4.29 total, lefties 310, righties are 369 versus Tomlin. That's why I like Margot, Myers, Perella, Renfro. I still love Spangenberg. Don't deviate from that narrative. But there are some really nice options. The total's not as high as you'd like, but there are intriguing options. Oakland versus Gavaglio, lefties only 287, righties 354. K Davis, anybody? I still like the lefties at 287. He's been going to hit hard so much. And, you know, your lowest total is that you're facing McCullers, Ray, Faria, Gonzalez, Sale, Hill, all pitchers we are looking to target. So lots to like on your 7-game evening slate. You have the 4-game early, 7-game evening. Hope you guys do well. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, at BDentric. I'll help you as best I can. Hit me up with your questions. I tweet whenever I can. I was busy yesterday afternoon, so couldn't get too much out to you. We will be recording UFC 213 preview with a little splash of the Tough Finale tonight with Dougie and Doc and myself. So that'll be awesome. We've got NASCAR this weekend. Tons coming up at The Sports Degens. Check us out at thesportsdegens.com. But more importantly, good luck tonight. Interesting day slate. You might want to get weird. Just saying. And then you got a fun evening slate with all those top price pitchers. They're not all going to pitch well. That's just baseball. That's going to make or break the evening. And this depends on how much you want to gamble for the upside, or do you want to quote-unquote play it safe and hope those are the only ones that do well. So good luck with that. It's lots of fun. Hope we make some money tonight. And more importantly, I'll catch you tomorrow on our Friday edition of Quick Hits. But this is your Thursday, July 6th edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits. I'll catch you guys later. I'm out.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote? Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.